I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
One is Mark and John's the other. They're just friends. They are not lovers. It's two old queens. It's two old queens. They're just sassy, not that mean. Two old queens. It's two old queens. Now shut up.
Hello.
Welcome to Two Old Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Mark, I am so excited about our guest this week. Please let everyone know who is joining us.
John, he's a writer, director, producer, triple threat, that's called. Mm-hmm. And he's host of the podcast Art of Arting. It's Matt Mazzani.
Yay.
Hey, how's it going? So happy to be here. I'm very excited. I'm very nervous. I want to win the game.
Oh, I see. I like
you
this.
He came to win. He brought an epic. Nice.
Well, you yes. chose the wrong movie, but maybe.
There are some categories I think he'll do well.
There's some it'll definitely do well. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
No, yeah. Please.
I'm curious, Matt. You host a podcast about art, essentially. Yes. I was going to say fine art, but I was like, well, you might have a Mark Ryden on there from time to time.
Sure. I call it fine art, but I do that a little ironically. I wanted it to be open for everybody. Also, because I'm like not an art person. I'm kind of a dummy. I just like it. So
you know what you like.
It's fine art for everybody, right? That's what we're trying to do there.
Have you had any like surprises or things like, oh, I actually thought I would hate this, but I ended up liking it?
There is some, actually, I ended up fighting with one of my guests, Amos fighting. Vernon. Not fighting. We didn't fight, yeah. but it's
he's on, real testy. Episode.
He's
yeah.
a hothead.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
A known, bull, that guy. yeah. But we ended up fighting over an artist, but I ended up respecting it a little bit more, but you know, like I'll give my opinions. I'll go out there. I'll say,
opinions on a podcast.
I know, right?
Matt,
nobody's ever heard cis white guy's opinions before. I figured it's time.
Finally.
Time to go.
It's going
to
take.
The Bud Light neon sign ceiling.
We do take on Jeff Koons quite a bit. He's the punching bag of the podcast, the balloon guy.
I like Jeff Koons. I think he's fun.
Well, he's fun, but he's a hack, right? He's like,
who cares?
He makes balloons.
So
makes...
is McDonald's. We like McDonald's.
Yeah, but McDonald's.
We don't call it fine art, though.
Well, McDonald's is fine art. The McDonald's is a wonderful
thank
thing.
You.
You can. I painted a chicken McNugget the other day dressed as a cowboy. It's still one of my favorite paintings I've done.
Oh, is that based on the toy?
The toy that you got.
I remember. I think I had one of those chicken McNugget toys.
They were trying to be Smurfs for a while.
They were trying and failed.
They had a good Halloween run. The Halloween run of the chicken McNuggets. But those kids had to swallow those all the time. Those had to be super dangerous.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, sure. Right.
Because they're the perfect shape.
Yeah, like they're children's throat-sized rubber chicken McNuggets. It's insane. Like,
and if there's one thing you know, it's the size of a child's throat. I never asked why, but you just do.
It's just something innate in me.
Do you like biblical art?
It's interesting. So, I mean, if we're going to go all the way, back into it, I am not a religious guy. My family was never religious. I wanted to go to church once out of curiosity when I was like 6 or 7. And my parents got a call from the church because I threw a fit because they didn't believe in the dinosaurs like I did. Like dinosaurs were my religion. And I was like, Earth can't be 6,000 years old. Because the Jurassic period was 75 million years ago. Cretaceous period was 225 million years ago.
Sure.
What are you talking about? And so I threw a big fit, never got into the church. But I do like biblical art because it's so, they take it so seriously, that don't they?
Go figure.
They really do.
Yeah.
It's really personal for them for some reason.
Where's the ironic detachment church?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's very, No, I like how seriously it takes. I like how, because they go that far, then it's like the most insane. Like things that happen in the Bible are crazy. Like people are getting thrown off of cliffs. Babies
crazy. That's the craziest thing that happens, I think.
Yeah.
Someone falls off a cliff.
Somebody goes in a whale. It's goofy stuff. But it's great if you believe it's real.
Sure. John, you were Irish Catholic. No, admit it?
I still am Irish. Yes. I went to church growing up. I wouldn't say we were like super churchy, but we were pretty churchy. My grandfather helped like found a church in like near our hometown, and because his cousin was a priest. His name was actually Father Hickey. He was at all of my growing up, he was at all like the family functions. So there's always this like very drunk priest in the corner growing up. He was not. Okay. Not with me anyway. Some of my cousins are much cuter than I am. So yeah.
I see.
Did you get special privileges for being like the church founders? Like, is there like a VIP room that you got
like,
to go
to? Oh, it's the Flynn. Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Buzz.
Here's the non-sticky Bibles.
No, I was an altar boy for a while, but I was bad at it because I kept passing out.
Why were you passing out?
Because it's so hot and you have those big thick robes that are, you know, just one size fits all. And P.S. they don't fit all, but they're just like very heavy. And it's like circulation in most churches, like air circulation is really bad because it's all just stained glass windows. So it's very easy to like get lightheaded. And there's all the standing and kneeling and sitting and all that stuff. So I passed out several times while serving as an altar boy. So then they were just like, we think maybe this isn't your calling.
You don't have
the
lung capacity.
Was there any stage fright to that? Or is it like, because you're doing it in front of all the people, right?
I don't think so. I liked ringing the bell.
Is that all you had to do? Is like ring the bell and like kind of
No,
be
you
an
had
usher?
To like get, like sometimes like bring stuff to the priest or take stuff away or like walk in with him or like security basically.
Take the whiskey out of his hands.
No, refill it, but yes.
I went we grew up, my dad was agnostic. So my mom would take my brother and I to church because she went to like Catholic school and stuff, but she never believed. So as soon as I got my first catechism, my first communion, we stopped going. And it never, because my mom was like, well, I'm done. You kids can believe what you want.
You want to finish this to-do list, go right ahead.
And I remember going to catechism, which was like the after school program where you like learn about the Bible, I guess. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't at my school. It was at the local Catholic school. And the only thing I remember is like sitting at their desk, and like the desk I sat at had boogers like underneath it. And I was like, this is disgusting. I'm out. So I was done. I never prayed. I never believed any of it. I was just like, this is crazy. This is not for me.
Yeah, I don't think it's also like if you're big in religion, I totally get it. It's like liking horoscopes. Like I get it. I don't buy into it all the way, but like I get that it's a metaphorical way to look at life. It's fine.
Well, even the Catholic Church says you should treat all of this as metaphor. It's not meant to be taken literally, despite their stance on gay marriage. You think that would help them loosen up a little?
A little bit.
Since it's all made up, you idiots.
Yeah.
Anyways, I try to be open-minded. Speaking of being open-minded and talking about new ways of thinking.
Okay.
We're talking about, this is our second biblical themed movie in a row. Last week we did The Apple, another biblical epic. Today we're talking the Ten Commandments. John, what's the deal with the Ten Commandments? Question I've asked for years.
Mark, let me tell you the deal with the Ten Commandments. It was directed by Cecil B. DeMille with a screenplay by Aeneas McKenzie, Jesse L. Lasky Jr., Jack Garris, and Frederick M. Frank, and it dramatizes the biblical story of the life of Moses, an adopted Egyptian prince who becomes the deliverer of his real brethren, the enslaved Hebrews, and leads the Exodus to Mount Sinai, where he receives from God the Ten Commandments. The film stars Charlton Heston, Yul Brynner, Ann Baxter, Edward G. Robinson, Yvonne DiCarlo, Deborah Paget, John Derek, Sir Cedric Hardwicke, Dame Judith Anderson, and that old queen Vincent Price. It was released on November 8th, 1956, and during its initial release, it made $122.7 million off a budget of $13 million, which would be about $1.2 billion in today's box office. James Power, The Hollywood Reporter, declared the film to be the summit of screen achievement. It is not just a great and powerful motion picture, although it is that. It is also a new human experience. If there were but one print of this Paramount picture, the place of its showing would be the focus of a worldwide pilgrimage. It was nominated for 7 Academy Awards, winning for Best Special Effects. And in 1999, it was selected for preservation in the United States National Film Registry by the Library of Congress. And network television has aired the film in primetime during the Passover Easter season every year since 1973. And that is the deal with the Ten Commandments.
Woo! So, Matt, we asked you to pick a movie. Why the Ten Commandments?
Well, this, like I said, we're a non-religious family. Our Easter was always like we do the egg hunt. We get some jelly beans. But part of the whole thing was we'd watch the Ten Commandments. And I don't know why. It was on ABC. I think it was like that type of thing, which is something to do. I think it was on, was it on Friday, Good Friday or Easter? I forget when they ran it. But I knew that it was on the weekend. And I watched it every year. And I never liked it as a kid. Never liked it like growing up. And then like the last like 5 years, because I don't do Easter stuff at all, I'll now watch this movie.
You don't?
No, I don't do it. I don't do an egg hunt by myself.
Okay. Mr. Scrooge.
Yeah,
I stopped making jelly beans, so you can't do that anymore.
I could get jelly beans, but you don't need jelly beans in your house. You're going to eat 10 of them, and then they're going to be there for, I don't know. Jelly beans are wonderful. Probably one of the top 30 candies of all time, I got to say.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't mind saying it. As I watched the Ten Commandments in the last few years, I just realized how like crazy this movie is. Not just in its like, it is big and epic, and it's an incredible piece of like filmmaking, but it's also like, it's so horny and weird, and like the things that people do don't make sense. And it's just like, I don't know, like, and every time I watch it now, I find like new things. Even when I was watching it for this show, I was finding these scenes I never noticed before. I don't know. I think it's like a trope, and it's one worth revisiting the more you go. And I think it's like now one of my favorite movies. I really enjoy watching it at this point.
Great. Okay. I love that.
Wow.
How many times do you think you've seen it?
I probably have seen it close to 20 times, I guess. Wow. Every time since I was a kid, and then maybe I skipped a few years. And I will say, when I caught on this show and I said I want to do the Ten Commandments, I looked at the runtime and it's 3 hours, 40 minutes. And I'm saying, right, Mark and John are so pissed right now. And then I watched like the first 10 minutes and I'm like, nope, never mind. Fucking nailed it.
Nothing this to worry
so
about.
Good. This is great.
They're going to thank me so hard.
Yeah. I knew it. Right when it got to the title screen and it was like, whoever watches this movie is going to be transported to the world of Moses. Yes. And then the Holy Scriptures got their own title card with a music swell. Like, this is like so up its own ass. It's
that's
great.
A flex. They call that a flex now.
Yo, yeah, it's a flex. As flex as you can get. I mean, Cecil B. DeMille put himself before the Bible in the title credits. It's fucking amazing.
God bless him.
So great.
John, what do you think of the Ten Commandments? What's your history? What's your baggage?
I don't know if I've ever seen all of it before. It is one of those movies that is so, you know, epic and iconic that you've definitely seen. You've seen the Red Sea parting and moments here or there. I don't think I'd ever sat down and seen all of it from beginning to end. I think it's it's very long. It's very plotting. I feel like, granted, we're looking at it from a contemporary sensibility, but it felt so much to me of like, and then this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened. Like, nothing really builds so much. Like, there'll be a scene where someone's like, I forgive you. And then like 2 minutes later, they're like, I hate you again. And you're like, okay, I guess just go with it. I mean, it was like a lot of fun visual stuff, impressive how they did things. And it's nice, like the effects just not being CGI was fun to watch, even in the times where it was sort of a little hokey weird. I don't know if I'll go back to this every year. I might. I didn't have to do it in two shifts, and I was after the first hour and a half googling when does the intermission come in Ten Commandments.
It's pretty deep. It's after the 2 hour mark, I think.
It's like 2.5 hours in. But I mean, like, I definitely admire parts of it. It reminded me a lot of like biblical staging, like in the way, like, especially like with Charlton Heston, there was a lot of like posing and just talking. It's very stagey and theatrical. And there's one scene with him and Anne Baxter where like she's standing with her back to him, like to start. I'm like, no two human beings have ever had a conversation like that weren't like on an escalator or something.
But yeah, I mean, it's definitely,
and there's so much prayer, like they're in a scene with somebody,
a lot of prayer in the Ten Commandments.
And then they just will like look up at God randomly, right? And then start talking to God. It's so stagey and great.
Right. And then it's also like the Ten Commandments don't even get mentioned until the last 15 minutes of this movie.
You really, well, that's kind of how it worked, I think, though.
I suppose.
Anyway. You're saying they should have planted the seeds earlier? Of there's going to be some commandments later.
Maybe
on?
Maybe just give us a commandment, like, or like say one of them, someone could be like, someone should write that down. So like, we're like, finally, someone has written it down. It's happened.
I see.
I don't know. What about you, Mark? What's your history with the Ten Commandments?
I had never seen it before. And in watching it, I realized like, oh, I know nothing about Moses. Like I thought I knew things about Moses. I knew not what I knew was like from the Prince of Egypt. I remember that more like, oh, he's right. Like sent down a river and he's raised with the Pharaoh's brothers. And then after that, I don't remember.
The Whitney Houston and Mariah Carey sing.
I know the tablets, and I knew the parting of the Red Sea. I knew that happened. But I didn't know. I watched it in one sitting last
Congratulations.
Night. Thank you. Wow. Thank you. I actually thought it moved really quickly. I was like into it. I thought it was like fun. I don't know. It is like, yeah, it's hokey, but it's also like, it is like a big, it's like watching like an Avengers movie of the 50s. You know what I mean? It is like just big spectacle. Every celebrity's in it. You know, nothing is subtle. It's like it's spoon feeding you the entire thing. And it's like really fun. I love like these old like Technicolor epics because like the production design is just so, I don't know, you can really like sink into it. But I felt like it moved pretty quickly. Yes, it's long, but you're getting the whole life of Moses. I mean, I would hope my life story would be at least 90 minutes.
But you like it so lean and quick.
It works though. What can I say? I don't like boring. Like I've seen like, you know, I think I paused Just Friends more to check the time. And that's like 90 minutes.
Right.
I was like, oh, but this one didn't feel slow to me. I don't know. I was like thoroughly, it's just like big blockbuster entertainment. It's the same thing, but just like the style's a little hokier and like that hasn't aged well, but the spectacle of it is still a lot of fun.
And I don't think there's like a wasted scene. Like every scene is like something's happening. I know it's like a little plotting because it's true. Like then Moses did this, but also like everything Moses did was, it also reminds me a lot of like John Wick, because it's the type of movie where like everybody talks about how awesome this guy is. And then everything he does is awesome. And it's just like, there's no disappointment. It's always just like Moses, this Moses, that he's going to do this. He's going to do that. And indeed he does. He does everything. He's the greatest guy. He beats people up. He parts the sea. He's just like, he's a superhero. It's amazing.
Yeah. It's like watching like Batman Begins and The Dark Knight. Like if that was one movie, you know,
right.
It was just like the whole, you get it all.
Mm-hmm. Batman, our Moses. That's our Moses.
Yeah. Some would say he's the hero the Israelites deserve. Well, Matt, as you may or may not know, but I suspect you do, we are looking for the gayest movies ever. So we have a very complex and Byzantine scoring system with which to judge them. So we're going to go through a ton of categories. And at a certain point, you are going to add a category and it will be added to the wheel. What does that mean? You'll figure out when we get there. Don't worry about it. But you have to come up with a category that we will use to judge the Ten Commandments and every movie afterwards. So this is our current top five ranking of the gayest movies ever. This is what you're up against. Just top five. With an 86.92 at fifth place, Death Becomes Her. 89.70. I'm saying this all weird now. Fourth, The Apple. 89.81, The Rocky Horror Picture Show. And second, 92.99%, The Bride of Frankenstein. And number one, current gayest movie ever with a 94.83% Female Trouble.
So, Matt, if you had to guess right now, how well do you think Ten Commandments is going to do?
I think it's going to do better than it appears on paper. I don't think it's going to get a top five. Can you tell me what's number 30? What's number 30
yes,
right now?
I can tell you exactly what 30. 30 is Meet Me in St. Louis.
Meet Me in St. Louis.
Oh, wait, actually. Yeah, Meet Me in St. Louis. Louis has a 66.49. It's actually 29th, but it's the 30th row on my spreadsheet.
Okay, well, spreadsheet aside.
30th is Man from U.N.C.L.E., which has a 65.79%.
Ooh, actually, that's exactly. I don't think it's as gay as Man from U.N.C.L.E., but I do think it's gayer than. Well, no, it's switched. All right, I think we're going to land right in the 30s. I think we're going to go for Man from U.N.C.L.E., Meet Me in St. Louis, around there.
All right. Okay. We'll see. Shots fired, ginger snaps. All right. So our first group of categories, these are the canon categories. So for these, we're all going to give it a score between 0 and 100. Then we take the average of all three of our scores. So, Matt, on the first category, on a scale of 0 to 100, how would you rate the Ten Commandments in actual gay characters?
This is a good one. I think.
Thank you.
Starting strong. Yeah.
I think I'm going to go with 75.
75. This is up there with
three out of four characters in this movie are gay, you're saying.
Because, well, here's the deal. There's a scene with 15,000 extras. You got to imagine, by the numbers, there's probably more gay characters on screen than has ever been put to film. Just by the numbers there. Also, it features perhaps...
You've never seen the Life and Times of Harvey Milk documentary?
Yeah. Well, that's...
I'm cheating. Okay. No, okay.
Also, it features what's possibly the gayest character of all time, which is God. Because if he's built in our image, or we're built in his image, then he's as gay as everybody that ever was.
Well, he's like Pan. So, Pan. He like be right. Everything?
Yeah, he's a little bit everything.
He's queer.
Sure.
Yeah, he's on the rainbow.
Yeah. Yeah, he is the rainbow. Come on.
He is the rainbow.
I would say they are the rainbow. We don't have to.
Thank you. Right. You're right.
Yeah. So I'm going to, I know it's a swing, but I'm going to advocate for the movie. I'll be fair, but I'm going to go 75 for this one.
All right. Okay.
Oh, and maybe Vincent Price. Maybe.
Oh, maybe Vincent Price, he says. Maybe Vincent Price.
That you're just going to throw that in at the end.
Says the straight man. Maybe okay. Vincent Price.
Maybe Vincent Price. Let's forget Dame Judith Anderson. Like, she's not as
true.
Mehmet.
That's true.
There's not a lot. I mean, Vincent Price definitely always reads like a big old Mary, especially in this movie where, like, he kidnaps a slave that he thinks is hot and just immediately dresses her up. And then when her boyfriend comes to, like, rescue her, he immediately ties him up and says, and has everyone else leave the room. You're like, okay, we know what you're after, Master Builder.
I was going to say, in the opening credits, the hairstylist is Nellie Manley, which that
sounds like a drag name.
Yeah. Or a euphemism for a gay person.
Yeah, I don't think there's a lot. I'll give it a 20.
20. I mean, I got to give it a 25. That's all Baca.
Gotcha.
It's all Vincent Price.
Baca's carrying a lot there.
He's doing a lot of the heavy lifting. Giving it a 40, which is 5 points higher than the man from Uncle.
There we go.
Okay,
all right.
Starting strong.
Starting strong. All right, the next category on a scale of 0 to 100. Drag queen inspiration. Could a drag queen watch the Ten Commandments and come away with a whole Bible of ideas?
Ooh, nice. A look Bible. Well done.
I'm not going to say it's going to be the most inspired, but I do think, like, if you're going off of like an Egyptian or any sort of like Ten Commandment thing, they would be using that.
Easter Sunday drag brunch.
And maybe not even realizing it's from this particular movie, because that's how much this movie is like ingrained into like culture about what we think Egypt looks like.
Right, right.
So, but I don't know if anybody's going to really theme a show after it. I do think there could be like a parting of the Red Sea bit that could be a lot of fun, but I'm going to go with 45.
45.
I'm going to say it's higher because I think just the overall aesthetic of the movie, it's just like fabric, jewels, like so much of the jewel, like all those armbands they had, like here's just like an earring for your bicep. You know what I mean? Like there's just so much just random stuff and jewelry and just so much flowing capes and fabric and headpieces. There's not, I agree, like there's not like the iconic, I mean, the iconic look is
Moses
Heston,
in the robe, yeah.
But there's not like that, you know, like, there's no Anne Baxter like look that you could like have on a postcard.
You don't think that gold dress she has?
Oh, I think definitely. But I feel like it hasn't like popped in the way that some other iconic looks have. But I think, like, again, it's like so drag. It's so excessive.
Also, the Burning Bush. There's a drag show. Come out as the Burning Bush.
Burn the Bush. I'll go 83.
If the Burning Bush isn't the name of a lesbian bar, someone is sleeping on a pile of money. I'm gonna give this a 90. I thought the looks were like so fun and wild and like form-fitting, like they weren't like, ladies look sexy. I thought men are like half naked the whole time,
right?
A lot of fetish wear.
The wardrobe stylists did not take a day off in this movie.
No, they
worked their asses off.
All those extras, they had no time.
Every extra had a damn costume. That was insane. All right, I'm going to go 55. I'm going to go up a little bit. That's too much.
Okay. 55.
I'm going to go for this thing. I got to get Man from Uncle.
Well, it's got a 76, which is 24 points lower than the Apple.
Okay.
But 36 points higher than The Man from U.N.C.L.E. All right, our next category, gay icons. Let's rate the Ten Commandments on gay icons. Well, there's Vincent Price.
Yeah.
Vincent Price. You got Ann Baxter.
Yeah. Yvonne DiCarlo.
Yvonne DiCarlo, definitely. Judith Anderson.
Miss Havisham, is that her name from Rebecca?
From Rebecca.
Edith Head worked on the costumes. If she's not a gay icon, there she should be. She inspired The Incredibles. That's true.
Wait, is that the lady? Like, she's like the wardrobe?
The real lady, yeah, is Edith Head. That's who they styled her on. Mm-hmm. What's that lady, that character's name? In The Incredible?
The one who's like, no capes, yeah.
Yeah.
I wish I knew. She's really, it's great. Is she a gay icon? That character from The
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Well, Edith Head, I would say, is a gay icon. The character from The Incredibles, maybe not so much.
I think The Incredibles character is. Absolutely, she is.
I mean, it's like one of, they're kind of the same thing.
Edna Mode is her
Edna
name.
Edna Mode. There you go.
That's great.
Edna Mode is absolutely a gay icon. She's on merch.
Okay. Here you go.
Does Yul Brynner slip in here?
I was
going
to say, you can give some points to him for like the world. Definitely.
Yeah,
and I have to say, I think he is the best actor in the whole movie.
He's good.
Amazing. That's another thing to talk about this movie is Yul Brynner is just like a absolute smoke show in this thing. He's just crazy good,
total smoke
super
show.
Charismatic. He like every scene just gets grabbed. He's unbelievable in this thing. I don't know exactly where to rate all the gay icons here. I'll probably draft a few guys, but I'm going to start the bidding. And I know it's an auction show. I'm going to start the bidding at 55 here.
55.
Yeah, there's not like huge. I mean, like there's a whole lot of great ones. It's more like the culmination of additiveness.
Vincent Price? Sense.
But Vincent Price
you don't
also
think
like
he's a huge gay icon?
I mean, he's also married and has kids.
But from that era though, you know what I mean? Sure. Like considering the time he came from, I think you have to take that into account. And now he absolutely is.
I will say 78.
78. I can't believe you would score it so low. I'm going to score it 79. Giving it a 70.67. All right. The next category, the male gaze. How horny is the camera for the male form?
I think fairly horny here. I think there's Joshua very oily.
Joshua,
yes,
that was a revelation.
Hello.
I'd follow him through the desert.
Exactly. John Yul Derek. Brynner,
he has a great pair of getaway sticks. You got to admit, those legs.
Getaway
insane.
Sticks?
Yeah.
I thought that was like film set lingo for a second.
No, that's just Gam Talk, baby.
Gam Talk. I see. That's our other podcast, our spin off.
Even Charlton Heston, which I don't, he's the most vanilla guy, but he looks handsome in some.
He looks great. He reminded me of like when Channing Tatum tries to be dramatic. You know what I mean? Like, you're great to look at, but you're a little miscast here.
Yeah. I'm going to go, I think it's horny for everybody. I think the women also get a good look here too, but I think Cecil B. DeMille knows why people go to the movies. And that's to see pretty people.
Yep.
And I'm going to say 93 for this one.
93.
Yeah, there's definitely a ton of torso. I wouldn't say the camera's horny. Like, I don't think this is like a horny movie, but I will go 89.
I'm going to go 80. It's just, I don't know why. Just lots of shirtless guys and Joshua's hot.
Right. There's no, the camera is like going from the sandal up.
Well, they couldn't back then with those like wide lenses. You couldn't really do shots like that. It was hard to do close-ups.
I mean, you're telling me in 1956, you don't go to the theater and you just see Ramesses with his little like heels and like, come sure. on. Yeah.
I mean, you're there for 4 hours. Like, you're going to be like,
yeah, what are you going to do?
So many times when you watch older movies, like people are like muscular and, but not like defined. And like so many people in this movie looked like how CrossFit people look now. Like, I don't know what Cecil B. DeMille was the regimen he had, but
they was calisthenics for an hour
ahead of their time.
Yeah, they didn't have HGH. How do they pull this off?
You couldn't. All right, our next category, entrances with pizzazz. I mean, ooh, showing up in a basket on a river.
There you go.
That's pretty pizzazzy.
I mean, Moses showing up with all of Ethiopia.
That's pretty pizzazz. That is like I think that if you wanted to see an entrance with pizzazz, look at Moses entering with all of Ethiopia and flowers being thrown in front of him.
Yeah.
Right.
But by the way, I'm going to hop in just to say, I acknowledge that this is a movie set in Egypt starring white people and it's bad. That's
oh, absolutely.
Sure. It's a weird part of the movie. Also part of Moses' entrance was that the Ethiopian princess was like, ooh, mama, look at Moses here. Like, she had to like Moses, which is weird. It's all but great pizzazz.
Everyone wants to fuck Moses.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to fuck Moses in this movie. Even his mother, Yoshabel, is like, I think, half into him. I think they're probably not too far from the age. It's crazy. Horny movie. I'm gonna go once again, because also like every Ramesses scene, like he enters with like a big thing. I'm gonna say
there's one scene. Well, hold on, there's more, because there's scene where after like that stone where the old woman almost gets crushed by the stone, Ramesses enters like on a chariot, like full speed, and there's like actual people in front of them. It was wild. I said, oh, be careful. It's been 70 years. There's also the moment where like Moses reveals the finished city.
Yes.
Like he peels the drapes back. I mean, that's pretty gay.
That anytime trailer or whatever the fuck that show was.
Extreme City Makeover.
Yeah. Burning Bush and even
Burning
like
Bush, anytime God appears, like that column of fire.
Yeah.
Ten Commandments, like magnesium writing is very
pizzazzy. I love that. Mm-hmm. It's so fun.
Oh,
would we say also Moses entering with the commandments at the top when they finally has the commandments?
Oh, it's
sure.
I
come down from the
in
mountain.
The middle of a production number.
Yes. Right. Nefertiti also was with her dead son.
Oh,
that was a sad pizzazz. But yes,
sad pizzazz.
Speaking of sad pizzazz, the cursed smoke that kind of comes down and fogs through the city. Yeah. That's pizzazzy.
Has
a theremin. I mean, nobody would have guessed that the Bible movie would have a theremin in it, but it had a theremin. It had a spooky theremin.
Cecil B. DeMille, you crazy bastard.
He really is. I don't think there's an entrance here that didn't even have a little bit of pizzazz. So I'm going to go 98. Buyer's remorse, 98.
All right. Yeah, I'll go 96.
96. I don't know. I think I got to go 100. It's pretty wild.
Yeah.
So it's got an average of 98, which is 2 points less than The Apple, but 66 points higher than The Wedding Singer.
What?
Right. Right. Not a very pizzazzy movie, The Wedding Singer. All right. The next category, Hell on Heels. This is for like feisty dames who don't give a fuck and they'll put a cigarette out in your cheek.
Nefertiti is constant.
But she's kind of it. I think all the other women are very like
Mamnet.
Moses tells a little bit. Yeah, that's true.
Mamnet definitely is.
She's like, but I'm going to hold on to this scrap of fabric for 20 years. This will come in handy later.
Yeah, she's a very quiet Hell on Heels, very like subdued, like a very like evil mom energy out of her, which is really
Well, isn't that the scariest kind?
The scariest kind. Nefertiti. Just
waiting for them to explode.
Nefertiti might be in like an all-star Hell on Heels episode, like a return episode. Cause when she gets Ramesses, like guilts him about being a basically calling him a sissy and then making him go fight the guy and you got to kill him and then I'm going to kill you. Like, she's always just needling everybody and she's wild.
Right. So you drove Moses into the desert. That don't impress me much.
I think because Nefertiti is just like so over the top, so crazy, up and down, horny one scene, evil the next scene,
right?
And just like she's all, and then like loving her. I mean, she's just like,
I was like, is she all, because I only know her from All About Eve. And I'm like, is she always like a monster? Because she's great. She looks so sweet, which is why it works. It's like Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah, with the, she got those bangs. It's she's, oh man. Hiding so much behind those bangs.
They always do.
For the Nefertiti of it all, I'm going to go 89.
89. Up there with She-Devil.
I think because it's basically just Ann Baxter and Judith Anderson, I'm going to go 78.
Oh, you said that like it was going to be like 32 or something. I'm going to give it a 50 because to me, it is just Ann Baxter.
So much Ann Baxter.
So much Ann Baxter. She's kind of one of the only, I mean, she's not the only woman in the movie, obviously, but she's like one of the few that stays around for a
dimension.
Long time. Yeah.
There's more to her.
Mark, can I get you to 52? Get to 52.
We're absolutely not. Moving on.
He's uncorruptible.
Yeah.
Macabre. How macabre is the Ten Commandments? It's pretty dang macabre. Pretty macabre.
We're talking Old Testament here. This is Old Testament as hell.
Yeah.
I mean,
also slaves.
Slaves.
Macabre. Yeah. Killing newborn Hebrew man-child.
That. The fact that they were like, oh, we'll let that woman die because we've got the momentum of the stone. Yeah, we don't. She's useless. That's pretty macabre.
Blood
is
River?
Baca any different than James Cameron on the set of one of these Avatar sequels? I doubt it.
Oh man. The like I said, the theremin and the smoke, like that whole scene where they're having the Passover dinner and there's just screams in the background, just like
right, isn't that crazy? Like, let's just sit down and eat, everyone. It's gonna get cold. Yes, children are being murdered, it's fine.
What's not, but there's actually so much. Although at the end of the movie, when he goes, if you don't live by the law, you shall die by the, and he throws the commandments and kills all those right. people in an earthquake, was fucking, I thought it was crazy as a kid, but still watching as an adult, I don't know why he did that. Why did he like,
because they were sinning, they were like partying, they were like participating in evil, they were like, yeah, you're, to me I'm like, these slaves can't blow off some steam. You know what I mean? Like, literally, God forbid.
How many days? Right.
Yeah, we've been slaves for most of our lives. Oh, yeah, we want to party, God. Excuse us.
Yeah, Old Testament God is no fun.
No fun. I guess it's because, well, if you have to live freely on your own, you still have to follow some rules.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You live by the law, you die by the law.
And if you mess up once, that's it.
It's like Rumspringa. You know what I mean? You can go off on your own, but you're going to, if you go nuts, that's on you. I'm not going to pay for any STD drugs.
Yeah, that seemed like a fun party, too. That seemed like a good, pretty good time.
God is like a terrorist in this movie. Like, I'm going to frighten you to enact political action. Well, how is he any different than a terrorist?
Could you imagine being stuck on a horse and get swallowed under the ocean? Like, all those Egyptians that died. I mean, like, I know they did terrible things, but that was fucking wild. Like that, like there's horses swimming underwater. Like, they had to kill a few horses on this production. They had to.
This was the 50s version of Luck, that HBO series.
Oh my gosh, there's so much that's macabre, the more that I said. Oh, probably more screen time for a dead child than any other movie you've ever done. That kid is just on screen dead for 5 minutes.
I don't know. Steel Magnolias.
They really linger on Julia Roberts.
It's true.
Also, like, hails a fire, turning the water to blood.
Yeah.
Killing Mamnet. Then he kills Baca. Whipping people. That green pestilence smoke. Goat's blood.
Also, by the way, now that I just realized this, like, Moses with his big commandments and killing everybody, thou shalt not kill. He killed all those people. He killed Baca. Like, Moses, like, murders, like...
Was that why he says he can't join them at the River Jordan? Because, like...
Maybe.
No, it's because... It is because he did throw down those tablets. I think that they took some theatrical license in the fact that he threw them at the thing and it caused the earthquake. But according to the Bible, Moses is so angry at seeing all this partying and worshiping this golden statue that he threw the tablets down and destroyed them. And so God was pissed that he had to make another set. And so that's why Moses was ultimately not allowed to actually arrive at the Promised Land.
Yeah. Well, and it was, this also was lost in the narration, but also they said they wandered an extra 40 years to get rid of the generations of partiers.
That, like, partiers.
So that's just like... Holy shit. Like, oh man.
Hey, I'm the same with Fyre Festival. Let them all die out. But isn't the Bible the ultimate example of taking theatrical license?
Sure.
Like, yes, there probably was a flood, but did it cover the whole earth? No.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, they played it up for effect.
Right.
To make some sort of a point. Ugh.
Yeah.
So didactic. That's my problem with the Bible. It's too didactic.
Too didactic.
I'm gonna go, I talked myself in, I was gonna go a little lower, but after hearing all that, I'm gonna go 86 on this.
86.
Yeah, there is all this macabre stuff, but it is Technicolor as well, so I'll go 82. Mm-hmm.
Does that help it or hurt it?
I think hurts it.
To me, whenever that stuff happens in Technicolor, it makes it like creepier in a way, because it's meant to be cheery and look like, you know, Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. So when something dark happens and it's presented in like a cheery light, to some ways, like whenever like a sitcom would have a very special episode and like someone falls down a well or something, you know what I mean?
Sure.
That made it more upsetting to me than if it happened on like a dramatic show. Because that contrast is
expected, right?
Yeah, it's interesting to me. I think this is pretty dang macabre. I'm going to give it an 85. This Old Testament, an endless, hello, Stephen King. You can't match this.
He's trying.
It's got an 84.33, which is like 55 points higher than The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Ooh, not very macabre, okay. That one.
Not very macabre. No. All right, next category. I think you're going to do well here, too. Dramatic lighting.
Oh.
it's constant.
Cecil, I tip my hat. There's so much dramatic lighting here.
It literally starts with "Let there be light."
Oh my god, he is so far up his ass. It's great. Yeah, like when my
but shouldn't
starts,
it be? What do you want to like subdue? Ten Commandments?
No. This is also another thing I learned about this one. This is a remake of a Cecil B. DeMille Ten Commandments from 1923.
Sure.
Yeah, he did a silent movie version of it,
which I want to watch that too, because I just gotta see it at this point. But it's
your
so
10 Commandments completist.
Yeah, well, this guy's I can see some beat bills somebody I want to look up, because he seems like a real nut. I love the nuts. I love the kooks. He's like the James Cameron of old. Like I love James Cameron. He's a monster, but he's a monster that knows how to make a goddamn movie. Dramatic lighting. I think especially the parting of the Red Sea. It like looks like a storm, and it's so scary, like the way that looks.
These old effects, like they look like effects, but they still look fun and they're cool and like they're you'd still buy into it.
Except for the snake effect, where they have to just cut to people going.
That was charming.
Well, the effect looked good, but then they cut to the people like, look.
I know, right? They did that a lot. Is it like you couldn't show Mamnet falling off a ledge? We had to hear her. You know, it's all of a sudden we're in a radio play.
But Mamnet falling off the ledge is like, it's like the shark from Jaws. You know, she's scarier when you don't see her. You know,
there's also the burning bush. Yeah. Sephora tending the sheep under that volcano.
Yeah. Oh, tower of fire at the end.
Yeah. Pillar of fire. How dare you? Making the Ten Commandments themselves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then all the location photography, like just wandering through the desert. All that stuff looked great.
That one shot where Ramesses and Nefertiti are like sitting on their thrones, both depressed after losing, and then they fade to the fire mountain. Like it's just
like
dramatic.
The end of The Graduate.
Yeah, it is.
Like, well, now what?
Yeah, now our kid's dead. Now what? This is dramatic. Although I will say, to be fair, there's a lot of good Technicolor, just like brightly lit stuff. So it's not all dramatic. So I'm going to go 77 on this one.
But you couldn't do moody with technical. They had to blast it with studio lights.
So much lighting.
Yeah, it's hard to be subtle.
Yeah.
I think because there's so many lighting effects, like as dramatic moments, mm-hmm. I'm going to give it a 90.
90. Yeah, I think I'm going to give it a 90 as well. No, oh, 92. Why not? Giving it 86.33, which is 67.67 points lower than The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Next category, vibrato.
So for this one, in addition to literal vibrato, we also mean anytime they take a moment and give it extra, sort of zhuzh it up more than the moment needs, but you like it.
I mean, just the Exodus, like they had so many ducks.
So many ducks.
It was 14,000 extras and 15,000 animals.
Crazy. Like, well, that's vibrato.
Yeah. What's amazing about that is that means Cecil B. DeMille asked for 20,000 extras and 20,000 animals.
And
the producers were like, fuck, can we do 14? But I guess 14,000. And he was pissed.
Just tell him it's 20. He's not going to count them.
Yeah. And he probably counted them. There was, the child was sleeping on the oxen during that. And, I mean, that Exodus scene is truly... Even if you don't want to watch this whole movie, watching a scene like that is like, you just can't do that anymore.
They don't do that anymore. And it's still like, there is just something exciting about just seeing this mass of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fully like art directed too, you know, and it looks great.
Yeah. Every person in costume. It's just, I couldn't imagine like.
There were some points where I saw some slaves laughing in some of the scenes. Like they do is like a wide shot, you know. No one expected them. No one knew what HD was.
Yeah.
Yes.
They didn't know it's gonna look sharper.
Oh,
so I saw like a couple of these slaves are having a great time.
Vincent Price, when he dies and he's laying on the ground, they had like a body double on the ground him, and like there was like this is like they had not planned for HD. Vincent Price wasn't
they
gonna
did
lay
not
down
plan
for
HD. That is right.
What was the category again?
Vibrato.
Vibrato.
Yeah.
Oh man. I think so much vibrato. I think even the music in the score, even though it's not sung, it's just a very like, I mean, it's French horn mostly, which is the most vibrato of orchestra instruments. I'm going to go 95 on this one. I think everything's done big. Nothing subtle here.
I mean, just the length alone is vibrato.
Length is vibrato. Yes.
And we're never mad at a vibrato length, are we, John?
I'm not sure what you're inferring there.
Like, all the Ten Commandments, a good start.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
I would say, for me, a negative vibrato was the very opening, where they're like, we're going to have an overture. Then the director is going to come out and give a speech.
Oh,
and then we're
going to
do the opening
edition.
Credits. It was.
I didn't watch that version. I liked when they do that.
I was like, this is a lot for a movie that's already almost 4 hours. But yeah, I mean,
well, you're going to hate the Snyder Cut is what I'm hearing, John.
If someone brings it in, I'll watch it.
It's 4 hours and 2 minutes.
Oh, boy.
How could that be longer? Okay, we're not going to get that.
I'm going to watch it. You're not going to keep me from watching it.
I'm going to watch it. I'll watch it.
I'm definitely going to
watch it. Is there an intermission in the Snyder Cut?
Well, you're watching at home. You can do whatever you want, you know?
Okay.
No.
I will say, I mean, like, it's a biblical epic, so it's just all about being extra and big and huge. So I will go 92.
92. Like, even the acting is, like, extra.
Definitely.
Like Moses's hair, Moses. All that like acting style is so like. Ann Baxter's extra this movie. I'll give it a. It's pretty vibrato, but it is like the length helps and hurts it because after a while you do some point get numb to it all. But yeah. Then the last hour is like all special. It's almost like Titanic. Like they save all the good stuff for the very end, so you leave going that was amazing, and you forget like the first 90 minutes that it took to get there. I'll give it a 90. Giving it a 92.33.
All right.
All right. Next category, footwork.
Okay.
Well, there's actual footwork.
Yes.
Yeah. Slaves stomping in the mud.
Stomping in the mud.
The shepherd's daughters wash Moses' feet. There's some footwork there.
Definitely that.
Yes.
There's an exodus. All those extras walking.
That's what I'm saying. Because it's like if you could get 15 dancers to dance in perfect choreograph, that's amazing. But if you can get 14,000 people and 15,000 animals to walk in one direction, that's as much footwork as you can possibly ask for.
Those poor ADs.
I could not imagine. They have to use flags or some shit. I have no clue. This I'm trying to think of. Oh, and of course, the shepherds have a big dance number. A
lot of dancing girls.
Or do the shawl dance.
Yep. All the presentations to Pharaoh, those big dances.
Yeah.
Boy, there is no shortage. I'm going to go. I'm going to go 98.
98 up there with Chicago.
I stand by the Exodus scene as being one of the best pieces of footwork ever put to film.
The Egyptians' firstborn sons, they had it coming. Where's that mashup?
I'll give it an 88. I think there's a ton of it.
Chicago to the desert? I don't know.
Let my people Chicago. There it is.
You know what I had stuck in my head is like some song lyric that goes, "Let my people go." What is that from?
I don't know. Yes, I actually had the same thing too. Like,
oh, it's from Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Is it?
Yes.
That can't be true.
There's a moment where Cameron sings that, or someone like, "Let my Cameron go." I swear to you, it is. There's a moment where whatever that song is quoted in Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
I don't know if that's it, because I remember saying, "Let my people go."
Yeah. Right. Well, it is.
Audience,
like,
let us know. What? Yeah. Let my people go.
When Cameron was in Egypt's land, let my Cameron go.
It's almost like a disco song, maybe. I could be way off.
I think it's like not like a jazz standard, but I think it's like a big band song where they like mix in jazz and they have like, yeah, like they're playing like something
like
brassy.
A Cab Calloway.
Yeah. And then like, yeah, like I think of the Dancing Ghost. It's like, let my people go. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Audience, please.
Hopefully
let us know.
Hopefully someone will let us know. Yes.
I can't Shazam myself. I've tried. Hurts my neck. I'm going to give it a 75, giving it an average of 87 in footwork, which is 1.33 points higher than the Apple. Okay. That was more fist work. Excuse the expression. All right. Speaking of, next category, spank bank deposits.
Okay.
Now, we don't want your cis straight man point of view.
Why not?
And Baxter.
No, here's what I'll say. Here's what I'll say. I wouldn't masturbate to Yul Brynner. I would masturbate as
with?
Yul Brynner.
Oh.
As.
Oh, okay. As.
Yeah, like I would do a Ramesses thing in my own head. Sure. Like I'd buy that. Nefertiti. Yeah, come on. I mean, there's some good stuff in here. I think it's pretty good.
I think there's the time. Yul Brynner and John Derek, young Joshua, definitely.
There's a lot of guys in like leather harnesses that just have like sleeves on them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're still essentially leather. They all kind of look like the Marvel Hercules.
Yeah. Well, and there's also even the background Egyptians are all just like beefcake guys just running around. And they could like, at any given point, you could pause it and find a new fellow. Like, I think there's a lot hidden in here.
Some, if you're a nipple stuff. Queen, this is your movie.
Like a horny Where's Waldo.
Yes. I don't think, I think especially for 1956, I think you have to adjust for masturbation inflation.
Sure.
Sure. I'm going to go 71.
71.
Yeah, I could see like as a young gay kid in the 50s being like, let's go see Ten Commandments again. I'll go. I thought John Derek, I really was like, who is this guy? He put the Derek in Bo Derek. Didn't know that.
I'm sure he did.
Oh.
Yeah. They were married for a while.
A 10.
That's true. I'll give it an 81.
81. I'm going to give it a 60. It's there. Mark.
Okay.
I've been very generous. This is a 60. This is twice what I gave the Man from U.N.C.L.E.
And those are handsome fellas. You can, nobody can deny that.
Yeah.
But they weren't like shirtless. Come on. If they were in the remake, who would you have as Ramesses? Who would you have as...
I guess Ramsey would have to be like Rami Malek, right? He's like an Egyptian actor. He's the first one that came to mind. You would have to have an actual Egyptian.
Right, right.
Moses? I don't know. You know who did Prince of Egypt? Moses was Val Kilmer. You can't do that. And Pharaoh was Ray Fiennes.
You can't do that.
Val Kilmer played Moses in a stage musical version of Ten Commandments.
Oh, man.
Did you see it?
No, but there are clips on YouTube. And he looks like he's out of breath, even though he's just standing there. But a lot of like his like musical phrases don't last long. And a yet to be discovered Adam Lambert is also in the cast. Oh. He has a few songs where he just sort of sings his face off.
So Let My People Go might refer to the audience.
Maybe.
All right, Matt, on a scale of 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend the Ten Commandments to a gay person?
Well, especially I did, obviously, for the show. Sure. However, I did feel a lot of like agita the whole time about it, because it was just because it's long. I think it's a movie absolutely worth watching.
You're saying gay people don't like long things?
Oh, Mark, you cad.
I'm a real Nefertiti.
You're a real Nefertiti. I love it. But this is not like, I always imagine this category is Mark comes knocking at my door. It's a rainy night. He says, I'm on the way to a gay film club.
I just crashed my car. And I'm on my way to a gay film club.
And you're at home jerking off as if you're Yul Brynner.
As if I'm Yul Brynner. Just pulling my little side tail. Yeah. And then Mark says, give me a DVD so I can bring it to the movie club. And like, if I had Ten Commandments, how confident would I be? I would say 40. I'd say 40. I think it's well worth watching.
I'm going to a movie club, taking your movie, but I'm not inviting you? That seems rude.
Maybe it's a gay movie club. He's like, I'm not finished.
Yeah. 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 And I'm not finished as Yul Brynner. I'm still getting my big silver armor off, you know.
I see part
of the show. Yeah. So I'm gonna say 40. I think there's a lot to look at. It's not very thematically anything in there, but
it's almost the opposite.
It's fun.
Yes. Like you could see this is what they show you, little do they know, in like, you know, what do they call it? Sexual re-education camp.
Yes. Yeah, this is like one of the gotcha, like, oh, we'll show them about the laws of the Bible. Then all of a sudden, Yul Brynner walks on screen and like, oops, backtracked everything y'all were trying to do there.
Any work we had done has just been undone immediately.
So a 40, John.
I'll go 35, because the recommendations for me were more like, I don't want to say homeworky, but more like, you know, it's a good, you know, it's less than like, oh, it's fun. Like, it never really grabbed me, this movie, unfortunately. It was more like I appreciated it rather than really enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it and appreciated it, but I don't think I would like be very likely to recommend it to a gay person, unless you're like a hardcore like movie buff or something and you're really into VistaVision, right? I think. But I did enjoy it, so I will also give it a 40.
Yeah.
So I'm taking that DVD and going, okay, it's not looking good, but I don't know. We could just chit chat if it's
yeah. Yeah. Hopefully other people have bought more than one movie, so I can do
it. And we're watching all of them, and I brought 10 Commandments. It's either this or the extended edition of Return of the King.
You really want to clear out the party.
It's got a 38.33, which is tying it with The Wedding Singer.
Oh.
But right. It's 41.67 points lower than The Man from U.N.C.L.E.'s 80.
Boy, okay. that seems high, but we'll live with that.
You're going to have to.
Still gunning for it.
Okay.
You're doing fine. All right. Now we are into the wheel category.
So these are all categories that past guests have brought in, and we've put them all on this wheel, which is an app on my phone. And I'm going to spin it 4 times, and whatever category randomly pops up, that's how we will judge it. And after those 4, you will come up with a category, which we will add to the wheel, which you may remember us from earlier in this episode.
See, John likes when seeds are planted and then they pay off later. Hear that, Ten Commandments. Hear that, God.
Okay, here we go.
Very exciting.
Okay. Weird line deliveries.
Weird line deliveries.
Yeah. Come on.
There's a ton.
There's a ton. The burning bush. Everything God does. God's very fun to imitate. That's just weird.
The burning bush, that voice is Charlton Heston.
Yes. I think they hid that from people for many years. I think they were trying to make it we don't know who did it. It was probably just really God.
We just showed up one day and it was on the film.
I loved the scene where Nefertiti and Pharaoh are playing hounds and jackals. They're playing that, and everything they do, they're like,
oh yeah,
they don't know what the rules are. They're like, yes, my jackals have your hounds now, and it's like, you guys don't know what you're talking about. You'd have never learned the rules of this game. I think there's a lot of weird line deliveries. I think Charlton Heston also, you do impressions of Charlton Heston because he's kind of weird. I think he's like Christopher Walken. I think he's fun to do for that reason.
He's super stiff.
He's very mansplaining too.
Yes. He became so
Moses.
Speaking of which, I think the way Moses is said in this movie, every time it says so much, it's always Moses. Yeah. It's all, every time they say Moses, it's great to me. So I'm gonna go 85 on this one.
85, one of the weirdest things you've ever heard.
It's weird. It's weird.
There's a lot of weird stuff. There's also a lot of British liquid you amuse me, or just weird diphthongy stuff.
Well, and then Dathan's like a guy from the Bronx too.
Yeah.
He's like, that's right.
Robinson, you're like, what is he doing here?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of weird sort of hammy, stagey stuff. I'll go 65.
65. I'll go 60. Nothing too crazy, but there's some weird stuff that reflects the times. Given an average of 70. Do you have any other biblical epics you like, Matt?
I should watch Ben-Hur because it's probably in the same zone, but I've never seen Ben-Hur. So
apparently Ben-Hur, the character, is in this movie.
What?
Oh, someone's credited as Ben-Hur.
Oh, well, there you go.
No, I couldn't tell you who he was.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you what movie I fucking love is Noah.
I love Noah.
It's so good.
It's so good.
It's so good. And it ends with a knife fight with a baby, and there's rock angels. That's also they take that so seriously.
John hates it when I say it, but it's pure cinema. It's great visual storytelling.
It's so good.
And they remove all the spirituality from it and just treat it like a fantasy epic.
Oh, it's man. Great. I could watch Noah right now. I'm like,
well, please, let's just get through this.
We've got 300 more categories. And the next one is anyone on fire?
God is, I guess, right?
Again, burning bush, God's on fire. And once again,
this God is on fire.
And if God's on fire, that means everybody's on fire because we're creating his image. So I gotta say that.
But nobody does. I guess you couldn't do stunts like that. Maybe you couldn't have that tech where they could light people on fire.
There was
Vincent Price.
Vincent Price, yes. That's true. He did have a little horsetail whip that he was whipping around.
Yeah. Fondling.
Mm-hmm. and his first line when she gets back is like, no, not the yellow flower. It's great. there's a weird scene special effects wise where the hail falls and then the hail catches on fire. And then Ramses just casually walks through it because obviously he didn't know there was going to be fire there.
Right.
So Ramses,
I just took that to mean Ramses is never thrown.
he's steadfast. And then the fire column, I'm sure, singed a few Egyptians on the way down.
Sure.
Is this out of 100 still?
Yes.
Guys? I'm going to go, it's not nothing, but it's not a ton. I'm going to go 68.
68.
I think there's a lot of fire, but not a lot on people, but there is stuff there. So I'm actually going to go 26.
Mm-hmm. 26. I'm going to go 40, and that's mostly for the burning bush.
Okay.
Giving it a 44.67.
Mark, would you go 39?
Nope.
Let's see if you can look the other way.
Okay, here we go. Legendary billboard.
Oh, this is tough. Well, the outside of that building they leave when they're the Exodus has like statues on the outside of the building.
Yeah.
And they're like depicting ancient gods, like Egyptian gods, legends, as it were. So I'm just saying it's not zero.
Well, what I was going to say is God does do the Ten Commandments on the side of a mountain.
Yeah,
which is sort of like a billboard. And is there something more legendary than the Ten Commandments?
You always say they should be in more courthouses.
Yeah.
Well, I have. I bought so many because I thought there was going to be a boom. I'm just trying to unload them is what it is.
Yeah, you got to get rid of them. You
can't the 99-cent commandments.
I think the obelisks where they put the names of, because he also struck all of Moses' names off the obelisk.
That's true.
That's a big thing. Those are like billboards for the future about who was around before then. And I think that's very important to them. And then, Ten Commandments. Some might say the most legendary billboard there ever was. So I'm going to go 100.
Eat shit, accidentes guy. You're going 100?
I'm going 100. I'm doing it.
Okay, man.
It's the Ten Commandments. Name a more legendary billboard than the Ten Commandments.
Allie in A Star is Born.
Yeah.
All right, 99. You talked me into it.
You don't have to. I don't budge. You don't budge.
I'll budge. 99. Mark it. Mark it 99, dude.
Lock it in.
It's marked.
I think we're reaching here, but there's some stuff, so I'll give it a 60.
60. Yeah, I'm going to give it a 50 for all these reaching. Giving it a 69.67.
If it's what the Bible teaches, always be reaching. That's the number one thing I got from the Bible.
Reach for heaven.
Yeah. Man's reach exceeds its grasp.
Okay, here we go. I don't know if this is lucky or problematic, but tan.
How tan is it? I'd say it's pretty tan.
It is pretty tan.
I will say, I don't think they crossed the boundaries into like any sort of brown face or black
I think
face
Edward
here.
G. Robinson.
Edward G. Robinson.
I think he does,
I think so, maybe, yeah. Because like Joshua just felt like a very tan person.
Seemed tanned, yeah.
Tanned in oil, because he put on oil before he went stone cutting.
Well, you got to.
Yeah.
You got to oil before you go stone cutting.
And, Moses got more tanned when he saw God. Like, that's the best SPF, you can get is the power of God. This is pretty tan. But I think for the problematic parts of Edward G. Robbins, I'm going to knock it 15 points. So I'm going to go from
15 points for blackface. Interesting. Okay. Okay, that's what it means to you. Okay, interesting.
Fine, 17 points. It'll go from 90.
17, okay.
It'll go from 90.
Thank you.
Okay, justice has been served.
78. You're
a 78.
It's very tan. I mean, it's white people in the desert, and they should not be.
No one's not sweaty, though, really. You know what I mean? They're not too sweaty.
From what I understand, they had to do them all indoors in very air-conditioned spaces.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
So anyone who is sweaty, it's actually they put oil on them.
Yeah. I don't mean to be technical here, Mark, but sweat is not tan.
But there's like a tan. It kind of like, when you like sun, like when I think of like Raiders of the Lost Ark, when he's tan and like everyone looks hot, like Point Break, like a sun-kissed movie. Mm-hmm.
They are a little hand in hand, sweat and tan.
Yeah.
I'll go 81.
81. I'll go 77. Giving it a 78.67. And how tan is it? All right, Matt, the time has come for you to add a category that we could use to judge the Ten Commandments and then add it to the wheel, where it might eventually become a bonus category or a canon category.
So exciting. I'm really going to shoot for one here. And I'm surprised it's not on your list in some sort of way. So maybe it does overlap with something, but I think it's satisfying comeuppance.
Oh,
that's a good one.
That's a good one.
Because that's all this Old Testament stuff is. Now, I will say there's a
difference. Had me at comeuppance.
Yes. Well, that's what it feels right. Like, I feel like what happened to Ramses and Nefertiti is satisfying. Yes. Because
it's better than like choices. Being like killed. Yes. Like, oh, you're going to be. It's like they're the original Gone Girl.
Yeah.
Your punishment is being trapped in this terrible marriage.
Yeah. Yes. What is not satisfying in this movie is when he kills him with the damn tablets. Like that doesn't satisfy. That's not.
I thought that was like great. I thought it was so funny and so crazy that Moses has just fucking had it. Maybe you'd like a closer look.
So I
thought that was very satisfying. I mean, I felt for the Hebrews, like, let them party. Like, they're going wild now, but they'll chill out.
Yeah. And the Egyptians, the guys that were caught under the oceans. I mean, oh my God, there's squids down there. That's so scary.
There's squids. Is that the scariest thing?
Yes. Could you imagine you're on a horse and then you see a squid? That's
too much.
That's a fucking nightmare. So even though I think the Ramesses and Nefertiti thing is the oh, by the way, is this category fly for y'all?
Sure.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Totally. Cool. I just want to check out. You know, to check out. Usually, there's like a negotiation, but I knew I nailed it.
You nailed it. You know what you're doing.
So since there's some Old Testament stuff that I don't love, with like some really good dramatic stuff that's very satisfying, I'm gonna give this an 84.
84.
Yeah,
it is definitely pretty good, but it's not a moment where, like, if you saw it in this theater, someone would be like, fuck yeah, when that happened. You know, like, it does lack that sort of sizzle to it. But I will give it an 80.
Yeah.
80. Yeah, 80 sounds right to me. I'll also give it an 80.
Yeah.
Give it an average of 81.33. All right, now we're into the bonus category.
So these categories we're going to all judge from 0 to 10, and these are just bonus. So if it doesn't do well in any of these categories, it's fine. It's not going to negatively affect the overall score. These are just bonus. It's only just good gravy.
All right, so the first one, on a scale of 0 to 10, what would you give the Ten Commandments in musical potential?
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but there was a musical for this, right?
With Val Kilmer,
Val Kilmer
just
and Adam Lambert, yeah.
So,
and also King of Egypt is a movie that's sort of the same story that is also now a stage musical.
Is that good?
I don't know. It opened in London, like, I think right as the pandemic hit. So.
And they'll watch anything.
Is that is that the one that has the song that's all like, let my people go?
Yeah,
it must. No, that's Ferris Bueller, the musical. I'm telling you.
Okay.
Definitely.
This is a super theatrical story. You could cut it down and you could almost make three different musicals out of this one movie.
Definitely.
Just like Gypsy Rose Lee.
Mm-hmm. For all that potential, I'm going to go with a 9 here.
A 9.
I'm going to go 10 because I think there two have been made and I think you could do another. Like I was while watching it, I was like, I want to do a duet between Ann Baxter and Yvonne DiCarlo, like real bad. Like I wanted them to have some
like thing. The boy is mine kind of thing.
Exactly. Yes. The original Brandy and Monica.
He's going to split my Red Sea right up the middle. Something about a staff.
There's squids in there.
That's what she said. I'm so sorry. Please cut that out, John. Giving it a 9. I'm also going to give it a 10. Give it a 9.67, which is less than Waiting for Guffman's 10 and The Wedding Singer's 10 and The Apple's 10, but a lot more than The Man from U.N.C.L.E.'s 3.17.
Yeah, you don't want
all right, next category, queer menace. How would you rate the Ten Commandments on queer menaces? Got Baca.
Yeah. What's the definition of this category? Is this like it's a...
Like a gay man or a gay person, gay, who like instills terror, but you'll love them.
Right. That is a lot of Baca.
Think like Ursula from Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think you got to go Baca. I think he also maybe got to go a little of Ramses. I think he's like a little,
but he's so like mask. You know what I mean? There's something like queer about him. I don't think.
But I bet he would top some of his soldiers at like a victory party.
Well, of course, because they didn't have like concepts of homosexuality and heterosexuality back then.
Well, it's like more. It's more.
But his energy doesn't come off queer. You know what I mean?
Right. I know. But it's like the Xerxes thing from like 300, where he, which that was like pushed to the nth degree. I think this is more of he's like, I mean, he's, you know, he puts on his armor and he makes his, the guys do. I think there's just like a tinge of it that just makes him a little bit. It's not like it's not pocket level.
He's definitely has like a fetish for gold plating.
I mean, in 1956, like straight guys weren't even allowed to take off of their shirts back then. Just that he had
they'd be arrested.
Off, they'd be arrested in the streets. But I don't think it's a ton on here. I'm going to go 4 for this one.
4.
Yeah, I'll go 3, all for Vincent Price.
Yeah, I'm also going to go 3, giving it a 3.33, which is 1 point higher than Waiting for Guffman. All right, next category. Character actress makes a big swing.
I mean,
where there's Yosha Bell as the old lady. She was only like 42 when they made this.
Do you think the woman played Yosha Bell and Charlton Heston like had relations? I felt that chemistry on the screen.
I don't think Charlton Heston had ever had sex with anybody.
He does not with his
own reflection. I think he's done that.
Yeah.
Or like a shotgun, maybe. He probably fucked a shotgun. He just has no sexual energy. He's too busy like telling you how you disappointed him.
Yeah, because even when he kissed Nefertiti, he kind of like grabbed her arm like a robot and was kind of like, yeah. And I was like, yeah, he's not
the
sexy.
Whole like first 90 minutes. I was like, why is he into her? She's like clearly a nightmare, right? Yeah.
But he's exactly the guy that would fall for that because he's like not worldly. He hasn't had a right, you know, so he needed that first, wild romp,
the first crazy and relationship,
and it happened to be the Queen of Egypt. So like, you know, good luck there. What was the category?
Character
again?
Actress makes a big swing.
Do we count Anne Baxter? Or is that she's leading here?
I don't know. She's like quite a character actress.
I wouldn't. Oh, I mean,
she's
I would say
a
like,
leading lady.
What's her name? Mehmet.
Right. Mehmet. Yeah, yeah. Mehmet. She's real dour in a fun way. And also, I'll say the Shepherd's Daughters are so fun.
So giggly.
So giggly, and it's just like, oh, a man, and I love all that energy. Right?
Interesting.
It's very like malt shop gals like just hanging out in malt shop like looking at boys. It's very funny to me because they're sheep herders. So because of that stuff, I'm gonna give this a 7. I think it's
7.
There's a lot of goofy stuff in here.
I think it's pretty low, mainly because most of the female roles are just like, oh, Moses, save us. So but I think Anne Baxter's doing some fun stuff, and there's some giggly dancing girls. I'll give it a 2.
A 2. Yeah, I'm gonna give it a 3. Not quite enough. I'm giving an average of 4, tying it with The Wedding Singer. All right, next category. Witches. How witchy is the Ten Commandments?
I think pretty witchy. I think
Moses is like practically a witch this whole time.
Yeah.
Turning things into snakes.
That could be blasphemous. I don't know.
He's the original witch.
No, but here's the deal. He doesn't witch it up. He gives the staff to Aaron all the time. Aaron's the witch, his brother.
Oh, he's hiding. He's always... Aaron's witchy.
Yeah, Aaron's very witchy.
Does Aaron do his dirty work?
Because also poor Aaron at the end where he's like making the idol and he doesn't want to.
Right.
He knows it's a bad idea.
He knows it's a bad idea. And he's like doing the incense. And he doesn't want to. That guy cracks me up.
He's the Lockheed of his day. Like, I don't know why we're making all these missiles. Really shouldn't. But the contract is so good.
John, I understand your criticism of this movie. But if you watch it, I'm telling you, like 10 or 12 more times, you'll find these little details that really just sing.
Fair enough. Okay.
But yeah, I think Aaron's a witch. I think the golden calf worshiping thing is very witchy energy. It's very like dancing around in like animal skins, and it seems like a lot of fun.
Putting blood, like sheep's blood, on your door frame, that has like a witchiness to it.
Sure.
Yeah. The you know, bring me the guy in a bottle and all that stuff. There's witchy stuff. I'm gonna go 6 on this. I'm gonna go 6.
Yeah, I think because it's meant to be religious and not, you know, witchy, I'll go 4.
Wicca is a religion.
I'm going to stick with 4.
I'm going to go 7. Moses is a dang witch. Burn him. Who are these Christians to judge anybody? Look what you started with. Casting spells, transmorgifying things.
They're going to be playing that clip on Fox News for the next 2 months, you fool.
Yeah,
like,
I would love that, honestly. That would do great.
You don't have any more downloads
for us?
Yeah. That'd be great.
Please. Giving it a 5.67 in witches. All right, next one. Gay actors playing gay roles. Well, the jury's constantly out on Vincent Price.
Right. I think with the Vincent Price thing and nobody is really you know, at least out, you know, I know God is gay. Of course we get that. But it's Charlton Heston playing God. So no.
Well, it's funny you said that, because I know for Ben-Hur, Charlton Heston's in it, and there's like a scene where like he and like his boyhood friend like reunite like after years, and the director told, I don't remember the other actor's name, he told that the other actor in the scene, you guys used to be lovers, but he didn't tell Charlton Heston that because Charlton Heston would refuse to play it, like he would refuse to do the scene. So if you watch that scene in Ben-Hur, it's like that guy was in love with Charlton Heston, like the other guy like really plays it.
That's really fun. I got to see.
I got to watch. Ben-Hur.
I think that was Timothy Chalamet in that role.
Yes, that was. Yeah.
It's one of my favorite genre of things that happen in movies is tricking actors. I think tricking actors is very fun.
If you ain't tricking actors, you're in the wrong business.
You're not having fun as a director.
No. I'm gonna go just because the Vincent Price role. Let's just go with a one here.
A one.
Yeah, I'll go two. One for him and one for Dame Judith Anderson.
Was she gay?
Probably. She's a dame.
Judy Dench, you hear this? I'll give it a two. Giving it a 1.67. All right, next one. Might do pretty well here. Themes of Mothers.
Your Chappelle. And then, yeah. A lot of mommy stuff here. A
lot of mommy issues.
Definitely.
Well, and truly, like, I'm actually, this is one of those Joseph Campbell-y things I kind of want to look up, but the whole a prophecy about the kid that's going to destroy everything, and they push him away, and then it's Oedipus again, right? This whole thing.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's like, if you're literally echoing Oedipus, you're going to go, I guess you got to go 10 on themes of mothers. It's all about mothers here. Well, 9.5.
All about mothers?
9.5. I forgot.
This is not, you know what's all about mothers? All about my mother.
Yeah.
You know what's all about mothers is also really good. Mother exclamation point. Oh,
I love Mother.
I loved Mother.
We both love Aronofsky.
I in the theater, I stood and cheered when that baby got ripped apart. I could not believe
maybe
it.
Maybe a little much, Matt, honestly. That seems a little more performative.
Okay, man.
It was an empty
virtue
theater.
Signaling, yeah.
It was empty.
It was an empty theater. It was open.
The theater showing Mother was empty?
Could you believe it?
That universally embraced movie?
Yeah. 9.5 for Mother.
Now it's a 9.5. Yeah. All right.
I'll give it a 7. I think there's a lot of Mother stuff in there, but it's not every scene.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 6 because once he figures it out, he like kind of abandons them.
Yeah, he does.
I did like that Bithia like joins the Exodus. I was like, good for you, Bithia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Forge your own path. All right. Next category, pearl clutching.
I think this is also just in the way that they say Moses, just like it implies a pearl clutches Moses. It's always there. I think there's a lot of that. Every time Moses shows up, he's so handsome and perfect that all the women clutch their pearls. I know that's not exactly what it means, but it just feels right. Okay.
The scenes we were talking about before were like, they couldn't do the shot. So they would just cut to extras being like, can you see what's happening? Yeah, that is insane. Right? The snake is eating the other snake. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, the sea, it parts and now it's going down. They showed that though.
There's also pearl clutching when like Moses is like, I give the slaves a day off, and you know, let's open the grain, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
I also thought during that grain opening scene, like, I wouldn't know what to do with this grain. Like, yeah, do you just eat it dry? What do? How do you boil a pot of water in the desert?
This is how I've been in doing like film stuff for too long, because when I say that they're just dropping all this grain, I'm like, oh my god, if they have to do take two, they have to clean up all that grain. I was having like a panic attack just watching that. Great scene though, but it's well worth it.
It's a great scene,
yeah.
Production design for this movie is out of this world.
Yeah.
There also was a scene where Yul Brynner like grabbed his necklace and threw it on the ground because he was so upset, and I was like, that what pearls would have been.
Yeah. A lot of incredible cape work from Yul Brynner here. Just like,
definitely.
Yeah, he always like, he Draculas, he does all the moves. I don't think, because there's not any like super literal version. I know what you mean of like, oh my word, but it's like, I'm gonna go 5 on this. There's a lot, but it's not in the bright mode exactly.
5.
Yeah, I'll go 5 as well.
I'm also gonna go 5, giving it a 5. 2 points higher than Winning for Guffman. Finally, quips. How quippy is 10 Commandments?
I think it's pretty quippy. I think every line here is kind of meant to land, and it doesn't hit us this way, but there is one of my all-time favorite quips, like, in all movies, because it's a little naughty, but it's really funny, is when Ramesses tells Nefertiti, he goes like, he goes, "You will be like my dog or my horse, except I will love you more and trust you less." Like, that's just a fucking mean, that's just like a bad guy line that like I used to write for pro wrestling. And like, that's what I want a good heel to say, is that type of line. It's funny, but it's like me. Oh, it's great stuff. There is the quip when they're like, "Oh, it's respectful to have the respect. It's the gods love it when someone has the respect of their enemies." And then Nefertiti goes like, "And such pretty enemies," you know, talking about the princess.
Nefertiti also at one point called Judith Anderson a puckered old persimmon.
Rude. The shade of it all. Oh. The Alexandria Library is open.
Okay.
I was texting with Julie Brister about this movie, and she says one of her favorite lines is when Ann Baxter says, "Oh, you most impetuous Moses." There's one line with, I think it's like Edward G. Robinson, I forget his name, says, "Where are we going?" One of the guards says, "To hell, I hope." Which is rude.
I think there's a lot. This is another one I think that you have to, the more you watch it, the more you catch these little lines.
But what would you say, like, the batting average, considering it's a 3-hour and 40-minute movie? If it's like, what's like quip per minute? What's the QPM here?
I would say, I think there's one per scene. Like, they at least have one per scene. I think the last line of every scene is kind of a quip. They always go out on a banger. So
Jack Benny did a punch up.
Yeah. So,
the Benny pass.
Yeah. I think it's pretty good. I think we missed some stuff, you know, because.
How dare you?
We're just not as smart as our forefathers.
This is true.
Yeah. I'm going to go 8 on this. I think it's pretty quippy.
8.
I think it's pretty quippy.
I think it's more just like very like declamatory than quippy. It doesn't like, but I'm going to go 2. I just don't think it's a real quippy
2.
Movie.
Yeah. It's like, and also Moses is just like so humorless as it goes on. Jesus, lighten up, dude.
So bombastic.
I'll give it a 4. Giving it a 4.67. No, that's not terrible. That's 1 point higher than The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Okay. Right.
That's a Guy Ritchie movie.
King of the quips.
King of, that's what they call him.
Yeah.
All right, finally, Matt, second to finally, this we're in the iconic categories.
So we're now back to scoring from 0 to 100. And these categories are just wider umbrella categories. You'll see.
So the first one, Matt, on a scale of 0 to 100, how would you rate the Ten Commandments in homoeroticism?
I think that there is some, I mean, it's 1956, and I don't think they were playing this.
Nobody was gay then.
Nobody was gay then. They hadn't invented it quite yet. There were some things bubbling in the lab that were very exciting, but it just wasn't quite all the way finished. But I think there's a very like one of those straight guys thing with Ramesses and Moses, like we can't fight or we can't kiss, so we fight. I think they like love each other a lot, but I don't think it's like all the way there.
There's also the raising of the obelisk.
Right.
There's that.
Right.
And also, whenever you have to ask your brother-in-law to stretch out your staff against the waters.
Yes.
Yes, yeah. There's that. There were a couple of lines, too. Someone said, "Will you please your pharaoh, Moses?" It's like, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I liked it when John Derek was climbing down those ropes. That was very sexy.
And he gets
that
tied up. And the whole Vincent Price, like, Vince, you know, Price teasing him.
I think in the
very Hannibal.
I think in the golden calf scene, I think there's some fellows that kind of do some accidental bumping in the
sure.
frame at all. Like
sure.
I think that's in there.
There's nothing more homoerotic than accidental bumping in a wide shot.
No.
Well, it's truly extras just getting away with it. You gotta tip your little hat to that.
Like the Pet Shop Boys.
Yeah. But I don't think it's not out there, but it's not present. I'm gonna go 39.
39.
Yeah, that sounds right. I'll give it a few more. There was a couple, because at one point where someone said, "You're going to free your people with a staff," he said, "with a sword," and he said, "No, I will free my people with the staff of a shepherd." And I was like, okay. Yeah. So I'll give it a 42.
So dirty, hasn't been showered in a while.
Yeah.
To me, like, when I think of like epic homoeroticism, I think like Spartacus is like the gold standard for that. You know, do you lie
biblical,
with snails,
yeah,
and you know, all that whole scene and like that actually has homoeroticism in it. And this one, it's there in pieces, but it's not a lot. So I'm going to give it a 22.
Yeah.
Giving it a 34.33, which is 30 points higher than The Wedding Singer, but about 50 points lower than The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Yeah, that's all right, tough.
Next one, over the top wardrobe.
Well,
it's pretty constantly,
I mean, yeah,
over the top.
Yeah,
a burning bush.
A burning bush.
This is what you choose to wear before you leave the house, God.
Well, it wasn't really burning. It's a glowing bush. It wasn't really burning. That's my note.
Well, then why do they call it the burning bush, John? Take it up with whoever wrote the Bible.
Yeah,
the Bible,
it's the Bible's fault. Yeah.
The Bible loves alliteration. Of course, of course.
Yeah, right.
I'll say this. I was a little bit like, well, it's like not over the top for the time, all this stuff. But then I started watching it. And like there's the first scene with Pharaoh is he's picking from jewelry pillows on what jewelry he's going to wear. I said, every single scene was Nefertiti was in a new insane dress.
I feel like now that I liked how like everything was like really well designed, like form fitting and like beautifully, like the colors are like everything's like color blocked and like it's a rainbow every frame. Because now I think like everything is like designed, they do this in video games a lot too, like it's like Jack Sparrow or like everyone has so many layers and like everything's overly detailed that it looks busy. Right. Where I liked how just like kind of simple it was, but you still got the sense of the character.
Yeah,
it's simple compared to Jack Sparrow, John. I see your face.
Like, simple? I wouldn't call this simple. Sure.
Because now, like, especially in like video game characters, everything's just like so over designed. Like, everyone has like a million things happening.
Yeah. In their clothes. Well, even like Moses was, which the idea with his red robe is that always in the simple cloth of the Hebrew
Levi?
Or something. But if you saw a man in that robe like across the street, you'd be like, "What is this guy got going on?" It's a bright red, iconic. Like even his poncho is amazing.
If I saw Moses across the street, I'd be, what's this guy's deal? Yeah.
That's a hell of a shepherd staff.
You better be
man.
Wearing a mask.
He's, trust me, I Moses is an anti-masker. I hear
he let my people go as he throws a mask on the ground.
Yeah.
We want to go to Buffalo Wild Wings, which is apparently wide open.
I can't believe it. You tell everybody we recorded this in 2019, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, good. I think over the top, I think it's pretty incredible. I think there's a lot to look at. Like every scene, there's a lot to look at here. I'm going to go with 96.
96.
I'll go 90 because I feel like it's definitely over the top, but not insanely over the top for that, for the world it's in. But yeah.
I don't know. I think it's pretty crazy. I'm going to give it 95. Giving it a 93.67. All right. Last of the iconic categories, camp factor. How campy is the Ten Commandments?
I think it's pretty campy. I think there's some stuff here. Like this is what I was talking about, why biblical movies are so good is because they take themselves very seriously.
Yeah.
And then boy, when they miss, it's a beautiful miss. I think the shepherd's daughter's talking about man, like they're at the milk shop. Like, oh, I think every time they say Moses is campy. I think the way that Ramesses stands often is campy. He puts one leg up all the time, and why not?
Yeah.
When you got those calves.
Yeah.
Yeah. A beautiful desert flower. Calling somebody a desert flower is campy. I mean, there's a lot here. Mark, do you have a list?
Oh, no one's ever asked before.
Oh,
I happen to. Yes.
Oh, goodness gracious.
And before I get into it, let me just say I cut it down.
Okay.
Okay. Here we go. This opening's a lot like Superman's origin, frolicking with your girlfriends by the river while newborns are being killed, immediately canceling a party because you found a baby, an incriminating swaddling cloth. God, every Chosen One storyline is just ripping off Moses, Luke Skywalker, Moses, Neo, Moses, Cher, Moses. Creatively, Yoshibel seems stuck in a rut by sewing the same pattern her entire life. For 45 seconds, this movie becomes CSI Ancient Egypt, appetizer platters that have more decorations than actual food, having someone pour oil over your fingers that you then dab behind your ears, finding meaning in the desert, just like when John and I have our Palm Springs weekends, horny and giggly lady sheep herders, meeting your future father-in-law over chips and dip. Moses going through more reinventions than Madonna. Is Sephora the first bangle when she noticed that Moses walked like an Egyptian? Terrible child actors. Would it kill the burning bush to speak up? Moses gets real preachy after hearing the word of God. Moses checking out of your marriage because he gets swept up with a heavy crowd. Sitting down to dinner while the firstborn sons of Egypt are killed by God. Lifting up your skirt when God's pestilence cloud coils around your ankles. We could really use a Joshua to organize the vaccine distribution. The Exodus has a real first 15 minutes of Home Alone energy.
energy. At the Red Seas, Moses is Moana with worse vocals. And this time, it really is Goodbye Horses. Seeing Moses part the Red Sea and still thinking he may be full of shit. So let's go ahead and worship a golden calf. These golden calf worshiping Hebrews would love Jeff Koons. This movie must have had a huge wreath budget. Speaking of, after all this, you think one of the Ten Commandments would be don't have slaves. And finally, ending your movie by tying it into Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Ooh, that's a good list.
Pretty campy.
I think it's pretty campy. I think this movie also packs a lot of camp in it because it's 3.5 hours long.
Sure.
So odds are. It gets a lot of at-bats, let's say.
That's true.
I'm going to go 92. I think it's 92,
one of the campiest things you've ever seen.
I'll give it a,
not a good bunch.
I'll give it a 90.
90. It is pretty camp. It's so long, though, so it's tough. I'll give it an 89. Giving it a 90.33, which is 2 points higher than The Man from U.N.C.L.E., but 8.67 points lower than The Apple. Finally, we're into the crown jewels category.
So these categories we all agree on. We don't score it. We either all agree it gets it or it doesn't.
The first one, a 15% bonus for a positive portrayal of homosexuality. I don't think we can do it in good conduct. No. I mean, you can't even give it to the Bible.
Can't give it, no.
No. Yeah.
Consider the source.
The source material, no.
Yeah.
So let it be written, so let it be done. It is not positive portrayal.
The Bible is no fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Finally, negative 50% of all the points if this is the movie Boat Trip.
This is not the movie Boat Trip, so it will not lose 50% of its points.
All right, Matt, we're done. We are at the end.
So how now that we've been through it all, how do you think?
I knew this was going to be like high highs and low lows, but I think it did pretty well. I'm excited to hear it.
So you think it's better than 30? You think it's in the top 30?
I think it's going to beat Man from U.N.C.L.E., so I think it will be in the top 30. I have faith.
Oh, okay, here we go. I just learned about that last night.
Yeah.
All right. So out of a total possible 2,608.39 points, the Ten Commandments has scored 2,074.39 points, giving it a percentage of 79.53, making it the eighth gayest movie ever. Not as gay as Clue, but gayer than Grease 2.
That's perfect. That's
wow.
Perfect. That's exactly where it needs to be. It's definitely not gayer than Clue. Yes. Yes.
Not gayer than Grease 2. Wow.
Wow.
Oh my God.
I mean, congratulations.
The proof is in the pudding.
I mean, it's right there.
I'm actually shocked. I was like, I thought maybe 20 in a good day, but boy, wow. I'm very excited.
It's an Easter miracle.
That's it truly true. Is. I wish I wasn't so excited. I feel fucking psyched about that.
I take what you can get this day and age.
Yeah. This is great.
this is great. Yeah, I'm not going when we started. I was like, yeah, 30 sounds about right. But then as we were going along, like, oh.
I think the wheel was pretty good to you, too, though.
The wheel was good. The wheel was kind. Is the wheel on God's side? It must be.
Maybe.
It must be. Well, Matt, thank you so much for
such a delight.
Oh, thank you.
You were fantastic. Fun time at the movies. Is there anything you like to plug, promote, or shill for at this time besides Christianity?
Sure, sure. Yeah, that's what came out here. First of all, the word of God, you know, good news, everybody. Jesus died for us or whatever. More importantly, I have two podcasts. One is called The Art of Arting. It's a fine art podcast where I paint the interview subject as I talk to them. I had a wonderful guest named Mark Rennie on there, so give that
a
listen.
I have it right here.
Oh, you have to paint
in the movie, shushing people behind me.
Perfect.
Follow on Instagram at AOA Podcast for that. I'm also on a wrestling podcast if you're into this. We watched WCW Thunder from start to finish with a bunch of people that worked in the wrestling industry. So that's called Get It Again, the wrestling
that's
podcast.
Fun.
Get It Again.
It's fun. Yeah, we have a couple good podcasts on there.
That's great. Well, thank you so much, Matt. You're
such a delight.
Pure delight, like sent from heaven.
This is a joy, an absolute joy. Like bread and honey, milk and honey, this milk podcast and honey. To me.
Although bread and honey sounds pretty
good. That sounds pretty good.
Milk and honey, the honey's not going to dissolve.
Yeah, that's like a biosphere food, or what the fuck do you call that? what do you call yogurt? What's yogurt supposed to be?
Cultured?
Like culture food? Oh my gosh, I'm crashing at the very end.
I don't know if you're supposed to have them together.
No, milk.
I see. Drink. It's just like for your tea bar.
It's not a recipe. It's just different things you can have.
Oh, okay. Some book. All right. On that note, we'll be right back. We're back.
Wow. What an epic podcast.
It truly was. I'm sorry you hated the movie.
I didn't hate the movie. I just was like, oh, this is so ponderous. Because I also feel like, in a way, Moses is a character, like nothing happens to him. He's just like, everyone's like,
He's amazing. I mean, he goes through so many different versions. You know, he's like,
this is a bunch of different beards. Yeah.
No, but he, like, he goes to being like, he builds a city and then he like becomes a slave. Then he's a sheep herder. And then he's like a prophet. I would say he goes through a lot of different, but like he as a character himself, like is so like has walls up. You don't really like.
Well, I mean, watching it too, I was thinking like, obviously there, everyone involved was very reverential to it, but there's a way in which like.
Yeah. Where's the Mel Brooks? Well, there's the history of the world. They do the most.
That. Mm-hmm. But just like even a sense of like Moses doubting himself, like he was always just like, this is what is happening. I will. You know what I mean? Like there was no didn't feel like a conflict through him. Yeah.
I mean, people freaked out with Last Temptation of Christ because they like suggested Jesus, well, had sex when he was human.
What? Yeah.
Huh? Isn't that the idea? Here's a question.
Let's hear it.
When Jesus was on the cross.
OK.
Did he know he was the Son of God and that when he died, he was going to heaven?
Yes.
Because to me, that lowers the stakes. Literally. You know, is it that big of a sacrifice when you know, like, well, I'm gonna live eternal in heaven, I'll be fine.
I guess so, but there is a scene, I think that's the weird sort of conundrum with Jesus, where he is both half man and like he is part God and part man, so like, yeah. He has to go through the suffering, like he does still have to experience all that suffering in a way that like a God,
but man doesn't have the certainty that Jesus would.
I mean, some people do.
Because Jesus
wrong,
doesn't require
certain.
Faith. Jesus didn't need faith because he knew.
I guess so. I guess I kept looking
defend
forward to
this John.
Clip being played on Fox News as well.
I'm just asking questions.
Sure. Yeah, exactly.
As a metaphor, I think the Bible's great.
As a metaphor for what?
You know, how to live, golden rule.
Sure, yeah.
If definitely. You strip it to its core, it's, you know, be nice. Don't be an asshole. Clean, you know. Don't eat food that's been sitting out.
Right.
It's like life. It's like chicken soup for the soul, you know, just with a splash of, you know, a happy homemaker.
Exactly. Speaking of chicken soup for the soul, we got an email from Drew. This is for you pretty much, Mark.
For me?
For you, yes. It is titled Indie Music, and he says, Mark, I gotta tell you, I love the indie music references. Listening to the Wedding Singer episode, we got the Shins and Block Party. Just want you to know, I hear you. Love the
Thank
show.
Thank you. Bro. I'm usually speaking to deaf ears.
Oh, yes, exactly.
John only knows Madame X B-sides. Mm-hmm. He's the one. He's the one.
Yep. I buy all the 45s from the Madame X singles to find out what the B-sides are. That's me. Yes. Well, thank you, Drew.
John and I did go. We did one of our first dates was a Hot Chip concert.
That's true.
I dragged him kicking and screaming.
Not true.
He heard Chips and like was like, I'm in, but then
I'm hungry. And then we're like, what?
And they were cold.
Ugh.
I love indie music.
Yes, you do. Another thing that we love is reviews on iTunes. We got one from ThinkPink34, and they give us 5 stars and says, I love these two. Hello. My introduction to these wonderful queens was with the Cats episodes with Nicole Byer. A delight, of course. They cover such fun movies, and they have great guest stars like funny lady Lennon Parham. The scoring system is elaborate, and I'm into it. Do yourself a favor and listen to this podcast. It's been a bright spot during this crazy time. It's a treat. Thank you, Think Pink.
Wow, thank you. You know, it's also been a bright spot for me during this crazy time, I would like to say. I look forward
well.
To this.
Yes, this is fun.
And, you know, interacting with the listeners that we love.
The listeners.
And that makes me happy.
All of you who are cleaning your toilets right now, we appreciate you. We see you. We are happy to be there with you.
Yes, we are with you.
We are with you as you toil away at your housework. But thank you so much. Yeah, if you guys like the show, want to support you, if you could take a minute to go to iTunes and rate, give us 5 stars, subscribe, all that fun stuff. It helps the algorithm. People figure can help find the show. Or you can email us at two old queens. Let Mark know again how much you love his music.
Please. Someone needs to.
Someone.
You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Two Old Queens, TWO Old Queens. You follow me on Letterboxd, where I maintain the current movie rankings.
Yes, and also we have merch. If you have another way to support the show, go to TeePublic, search for Two Old Queens. We've got a lot of fun stuff you can buy there. And we also have a Patreon. So if you want more of this in your life, if you go to Patreon, search for Two Old Queens, the retirement plan, you get another episode of this every week. Yeah. And right now we are going through the movies of Dolly Parton, which is another kind of religious experience.
Truly, though. Truly. You know, that's the version of religion I like. Like, I really do like find myself moved by her like religious songs, though.
They're sweet.
They're great. He's alive. I mentioned it on one of the Patreon episodes. Everyone needs to listen to He's Alive. Disco Jesus.
All right. Well, that's right. It.
We don't know what we're doing next time, but it's definitely going to be a movie.
It's definitely going to be a movie. And also in preparations for the Oscars, it's going to be the next couple movies are all going to be movies that feature at least a nominee for Best Supporting Actress.
Thank you. Show some respect to those ladies.
They don't get enough.
Nope.
But have a happy Easter. We hope you had a good Passover.
Whatever those mean.
Whatever those mean.
I think for like once you're a kid, none of that matters anymore.
All right. I think we're good.
You're going to have ham and coleslaw? All right. We'll see you next time. Stay safe.
Goodbye.
Let my people go.
Now it's time for credits. We got music by Danny Cohen.
Artwork by Connie Shin.
And special thanks to Alex Arche and Mike Rennie.
Bye.
Bye. We didn't get that right.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.